And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hi, I'm Keith Law, and welcome to episode 88 of The Keith Law Show. We are back after a brief hiatus, mostly because I've been traveling, actually. That is kind of part of the job. But I am home for a little bit here. I just returned from Atlanta, where I saw Drew Jones. Yes, that is Andrew Jones' son. If you would like to feel old, the following players have sons in this year's draft class. Andrew Jones, CeCe Sabathia, Carl Crawford, Matt Holliday, Paul Spoljarek, Lou Collier, and DeJuan Brazelton. And that's just off the top of my head. So yes, I feel old. And I am older than every one of those players, except for one, which makes it even worse. I also saw Tamar Johnson. I will write about those guys and several other draft prospects I have seen recently in a draft blog that will go up for subscribers to The Athletic on either Thursday or Friday of this week. Since the last time I recorded too, I have had multiple posts up for subscribers to The Athletic, including a draft blog, some spring training blog posts from what I saw from the backfields, and a season predictions post that made everybody far too mad because they did not read the intro. Thank you to those of you who did read the intro, though, and at least excused yourselves before you got mad at me. Well, now it is my pleasure to be joined by two longtime friends of mine who you might know as part of the tremendous, and I guess lamented, band Puig Destroyer. You might know them from the Productive Outs podcast. They are Ian Miller, who plays bass for Kowloon Walled City, who will be hitting the road shortly here. They're heading to the East Coast a few hours after we record this. And Riley Breckenridge of Thrice, who will be hitting the road later this year on a short tour starting in June. To commemorate their most recent album, Horizons East, which came out in September. Gentlemen, thank you for joining me.
Thrilled to be here, Keith. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, for sure. I'm not sure if I remember how to do this.
Well, I think the last time we did this, it was the other way around, right? You guys were hosting.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so I figured I would finally return the favor. Now that I have a show of my own again, which I have for like 2 years now, but I figured I would return the favor. Yes. Yeah. So we are mostly going to talk baseball, although it goes where it goes, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's pretty much our history with our conversations. But Ian, right before we started recording, you mentioned the highlight of Tuesday
night. I think there are a couple. For my money, Travis d'Arnaud taking one in the ribs from D. Strange Gordon. What was that about? Like a 56, 57 mile an hour heater?
It's funny. I showed my daughter, and she goes, why is he being so dramatic? I said, that pitch was like 55 miles an hour. I think he's okay.
Yeah, so yeah, he really got his money's worth out of that one. That was phenomenal.
Why do we have position players pitching already?
5 games into the season with expanded rosters.
Well, that's the thing. Doesn't everybody have like 17 pitchers at this point?
Yeah, I'm here for it though. We had Will Myers take the mound here in San Francisco last night. To great effect.
Oh,
if you're a Giants
one.
Fan,
yeah.
A couple dudes went back to back on him, and he's sporting an 18 ERA, I think, if I remember that correctly.
Oh,
right.
It's right in line with Darvish's ERA.
I was just gonna say he could be in their rotation at this point. So, although they're calling out Mackenzie Gore, I think we can actually get excited now. We are going to have a Mackenzie Gore sighting.
So Keith, I want, before we get into anything else, what is up? Have they is the Super 2 stuff changed? Is that why we're getting all these early call-ups? I'm thrilled about it, but I'm wondering what's behind the logistics of all of this.
I wish I had a good answer. Somebody asked me that on Twitter.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, at some point, right? Time is a flat circle. But you know, part of me wants to say, hey, the new CBA is working. A, I don't know if that's true.
Right.
B, my inclination is to say the CBA is not working, right? Just whatever the question is, just assume the CBA is bad.
Right.
But it's pretty great, the sheer number of guys we've had
make their debuts.
Yeah, we've had Elliot Ramos in SF now for two games, and he seems legit. Like, it's super fun to have these guys up at or near the beginning of the season.
Lodolo should be debuting at some point while we record this podcast. I think they had a rain delay, so that just gives everyone a sense of when we're recording this. We already saw Hunter Green the other day. Mm-hmm. I wonder, too, so I was out at games the last couple of days in Georgia seeing some draft guys, and somebody brought up Adley Rutschman, who's hurt, right? So the reason he's not in the big leagues right now is he's coming back from an injury. But if they don't put him on the big league roster, they're going to look that much worse. I don't know that they care necessarily, but wait, like, you're some of the only ones who are still doing this service time manipulation. Like, that's so 2021 at this point.
Peer pressure.
I hope so.
I'm just glad that O'Neill Cruz is not with the big club, because there's really nowhere to put him in that loaded Pirates lineup.
I'm so curious about where you're going
really,
with that, Riley.
Right? You had me in the first half, not going to lie.
It's got to be frustrating for them. I mean, they just have nowhere to put them.
Yeah. Just too deep for their own good.
Yeah. Is there just a tall man position somewhere? Have you guys seen him live at any point?
No.
I got to see him. I think I've seen him twice in person, and it is just... I mean, I love it. And I've said it other places too. I ranked him too low this offseason. I'm already going to take the L on that, even though he hasn't gotten to the big leagues yet. It's fine. I was wrong. But it is so weird and fascinating to see a man that size at shortstop. You're just immediately like, nope, that's just wrong.
Well, those of us who are old enough remember when, I mean, A-Rod was sort of the beginning of that sea change.
Yes.
Of those dudes. And now, you know, if you have a dude under kind of 6'2", that's the aberration. But
yeah, it bothers me when I get into these draft conversations. And I used to be guilty of this too, but it's like, well, he can't. Well, he has to move.
Right.
But we've seen so many guys, like Corey Seager was supposed to have to move. I wrote that. You can go back and find that I wrote that. Carlos Correa was probably going to outgrow the position. Right. And, you know, some of this is these guys working and keeping their bodies in shape or just becoming better defensively than we expected. But clearly the paradigm was just wrong, right? We were too quick to move guys off the position. And it's happening again this year. There's another bunch of guys, well, he's going to have to move. You know what? Sure, some of them will have to move. But they're not all going to move. We should be trying to figure out which guys might stay.
That's sort of, in my mind, the inherent conservative mindset. It's like we're already... I mean, because we've seen so many of these dudes, prospects, I mean, fail, mm-hmm. we're inherently looking. I mean, aren't we doing that as evaluators? We're always looking for the shortcomings, or we're looking for the flaws, et cetera.
I think so. I really think I think the easiest way to scout is to say, you know, I'm a pretend scout, right? But I try to do what those guys do. But like, the easiest thing to do is say they all suck.
Yes.
None of them can play. You'll be right the majority of the time.
Exactly. Yeah, you'll be right 95% of the time. But the guys who get the good gigs are the guys who can spot the 5%.
If you just predict, I think all pitchers get hurt, well, especially in this draft, we've got literally a couple more in the last few days. But if you just predict they're all going to get hurt, the problem is then you never take anyone. Right. The scouting director the first couple of years I was in Toronto, Chris Buckley, who's been with the Reds for basically as long as I've been on the writing side or just about. And he would sit there in the draft room when we would do this. And I would be one of them. This guy can't do this. This guy doesn't walk enough. This guy doesn't throw enough strikes, et cetera. He'd just go, gentlemen, you can't pass, which was not technically true. I mean, you could pass in the first round if you wanted to just have no players. I'm sure like Dick Monfort would think that was the best draft strategy ever. But for me, like at some point you have to like a player. And I tried to do that myself to get away from, I'm sure if you go back to 10, 12 more years ago, I was probably more on what you described, Ian, that shortcomings idea. Yeah. Now it's, what can he do? What's the path to success for this guy? So just to correct myself, to get myself out of that negative mindset, he can't do this, he can't do this. Somebody said to me, Termar Johnson, who's this 5'8 high school hitter in Georgia, who's, people are saying it's the best hit tool on a high school kid in 20 years, maybe more. And somebody said to me, he's got a hitch in his swing. And I had to go back to the video to even see it. He does a little bit. All this kid ever does is hit. At some point, you know what? Tony Gwynn was fat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but he really hit. At some point, doesn't that shouldn't that just be the story, right? He really hits, yeah. And that probably means he's going to continue to do so.
Gary Sheffield's hands were noisy as hell pre-pitch, and somehow they always ended up in the right spot.
You would never teach a kid to do that. However, if it's working, there's Josh Jung's younger brother is in this draft, Jace Jung, and I mean, you guys can see me, the listeners can't see me, but he starts his hands, if this is the bat, it's like this, like pointing back away
from
him.
Like Rod Carew style.
Kind of. Yes. Oh my God. Yes. That's a good call. I was trying to think of who ever hit like that. That
Carew
might be the,
yeah. Literally looked like the ball was about to, or the bat was about to fall out of his hands.
Yeah.
Like he was so loose with his hands. It was just flopped back. And then all of a sudden, when it was time to hit, everything snapped right into where it should be.
My inclination, and this is, Ian, this is your point again. My inclination is, nope, you can't do that.
Right.
I'm sure if you took 20 guys, 50 guys, whatever, who tried to hit like that, the majority of them wouldn't. But this guy's already sort of passed a bunch of the tests. He's a junior in a Power 5 conference, and he's continuing to produce at an exceptional rate.
Right.
At some point, we just have to say, it's working.
Yeah, I guess the conservative approach is you project that against high 90s velocity, which I'm sure he's never seen. Will it play? You can probably instruct that out. You can probably coach it out of him. You know, you can, all that stuff can be massaged out. But yeah, that's the projection game.
The thing with Cruz too is, you know, going back to what we were talking about a moment ago, I think he's not a shortstop. I honestly, really, truly think he's not a shortstop. Right. And I think the reason more than anything is just physical. Like, just literally, it's a long way to the ground for him. And trying to do that hundreds of times a year, there's going to be some kind of deficiency. But he's an 80 runner with an absolute can of an arm. You have plenty of other places to put him, too.
It's not he's a liability that you're going to have to park at first base.
Right. It's not – who was I just writing about? Cornelius Randolph. It was a top 10 overall pick because everyone's like, well, he's going to hit. Where does he play? Batter's box.
Yeah.
That's funny at some point until your favorite team takes that guy and then you hate him. And the poor kid, I mean, he never did hit enough anyway, but he also has never had – he ended up in left field and he's not good there.
Yeah.
So this is not that. And I'm – again, same thing, just trying to change the mindset. To get out of that, you can't. And then suddenly you look up, you have three players on your draft board because you think everyone else stinks.
Yeah, but like you said, that's the safe approach. You will most likely never be wrong and no one can own you on Twitter.com.
Yes, right? Yeah, well, the job is to just never be the main character on baseball Twitter. If I do that, I think I'm winning. So who else have you guys seen so far this year? It can be rookies who debuted or other things you've seen so far this year that's caught your eye. I mean, we're talking about rookies, so we can keep... If you want to keep going that direction, that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, I've like I mentioned Elliot Ramos a couple of minutes ago. He got his first two knocks on Sunday and his big league debut. That was super fun. For folks who haven't seen him, he is the Giants radio team is fond of saying, had he been brought up in the States, he would have been a fullback. Like he is,
yes.
He is built like a brick shit house and does not look like a stereotypical, you know, outfield build. But the hit tool seems real. He can cover some ground, just like a good tools package, a really good toolsy guy with what appears to be, you know, obviously what I've seen five ABs now, but what seems to be a sound approach at the plate. So I'm excited. Mm-hmm. I'm excited. Where did you, I mean, he's, I think the number on MLB, he might be the number six prospect in the Giants org. Where did you have him coming into the season?
I think I had him higher than that. I know I had Luciano above him.
Yeah.
Because Luciano's got, he's a shortstop now. He's not going to stay there, but I think he's got more upside defensively and offensively. Elio is, like, I think he's just going to end up in a corner. Although, if you talk to Giants people, they've said for years, too, they view right field as, like, second center field for them.
It is very funky, man.
And he might be perfect for that because he can throw. And he does. He moves well for a big guy. Yeah. Again, kind of goes back to the football thing. I actually always said this about Yoan Moncada.
Oh, yeah.
The body comp there is like Lawrence Taylor. Those guys in the United States just get siphoned off.
We lose them to the lesser sport.
Yeah, which stinks, right, for lots of reasons. We should be selling our sport more effectively than that. But for whatever reason, we're not doing so. Hey, you want to go get your brain scrambled playing football? I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's mean, but I – you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Do you want to be able to like hug your kids and enjoy your money in retirement? Come play our sport.
I think it's a pretty good selling point.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Then there's the, do you want to spend the first 6 years of your baseball career fighting for?
Absolutely.
Why, you're breaking up, Riley.
Decent wage. Oh yeah. Sorry.
Where's the mute button? All right. So I had
Manfred mute.
I had him third in the system, cool. Slightly ahead of Joey Bart, who's off to a tremendous start this year. It's four games. We're just going to overreact to small samples here. Let's just get that out of the way.
That is very exciting because Joey Bart was heralded when he was drafted. He looked good in high A, where I got to see him in person a little bit. And then by all reports, like I've talked to some folks inside the organization and I, you know, not to cast aspersions, but he sort of like fell off and people were like,
yeah,
is this guy even going to make it to the show? And that was not clear like a year or two ago. And the fact that he's up there starting every day and looking good, calling what appear to be good games is very, very exciting. I was, you know, with the retirement of Buster Posey, we had a good long run with Buster. I was very anxious about what Bart was going to bring. And it looks like, you know, his demise was, you know, we called that a little too soon.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I heard from at the end of the year, he was kind of looked like he was mailing it in AAA. And on the one hand, you don't want to hear that. But on the other hand, I'm sure he was like, I'm ready.
Yeah. What am I doing here?
Yeah. It's got to be frustrating for guys, especially the way AAA is, where you're often surrounded by a lot of the, you know, sort of 28 to 32 year olds who are just hoping they get the emergency call. Well, you know, it's the de facto taxi squad. Now we have an actual taxi squad, but you know, that AAA is, it's not, I don't go to a lot of AAA games anymore, despite having two teams I could drive to in Scranton and Lehigh Valley, because there typically aren't that many prospects there. It's more the up and down guys.
It's sort of become, it's like the parking place for the 4A guys. And it's been weird watching that develop. I guess it's been like, I'll say over the last 10 years, you'll have a much better sense of this, Keith, but like watching it from going to where the guys who are going to get to the show, you know, do the final spit and polish to a place where you park these guys, you know, your emergency call-ups, essentially.
It's like a rental car lot.
It really is. It's like the Phoenix Sky Harbor rental car lot.
Yeah, you know, the problem is now you just gave MLB a sponsorship idea.
Oh, jeez.
Right? Brought to you by Alamo. Yes. You know, that wasn't true when I was with the Blue Jays.
Not at all.
The
it's
idea
very
of
recent.
AAA, it's more recent. So I would say somewhere in the last 10 years, but not in the last 5 years. That shift was somewhere, you know, I could probably narrow it down about that much where – I remember hearing this from a Yankees writer in that span where they didn't want to send some particular player to AAA because they didn't want him to get influenced for the worse by the, you know, in his telling, the grumpy veteran minor leaguers there who think they all think they should be in the big leagues. Yeah. True or not, I'm just sort of repeating what was said to me. But I think the other problem is that your teams have just said, no, it's just that. It's just like you say, it's the rental car lot. We just stash guys there until somebody calls and says, I'll take that one. And instead, most of the prospects, it's you do every level typically to double A, and they're more likely, there's a few exceptions, more likely to get called right up from there. I think especially the hitters. I don't really have a good explanation for why, you know, why would you think, if you think the caliber of pitching isn't enough of a challenge for the hitters, why would, I'm not sure why the converse would be true. It's good enough for every prospect. Who needs something more? Obviously, some prospects get to double A and you're like, yep, he's just call him right up. But, you know, I think Hunter Green spent time in AAA. I have to double check, make sure I have that correct. But there were plenty of guys who did spend time at AAA and I could argue have benefited from it. Also, if your guy finished, your prospect was at AA, he's clearly shown he's better than that level. You bring him up to the majors and he's not ready. Well, what do you do?
Right.
Doesn't make sense to send him back to AA.
Yeah.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Riley, anybody else who's caught your eye in the early going so far?
I watched a little bit of Matt Brash last night or yesterday afternoon here. Yeah. I think because I had heard you talk about him on the podcast, he's pretty filthy. Yeah. But I see what you were saying. I think you were saying something about like how his delivery is kind of unsustainable, or it's more suited for a reliever. And I definitely see that. The stuff is filthy. I like how he works quickly.
Yeah.
I like how kind of he's got that twitchy pitcher kind of persona on the mound, which is super appealing to me just because he's a character.
Yep.
I was trying to think of a comp for him and I'm totally striking out, but
I don't have a good one as a starter, actually. I've some relievers who've been like that, but starters, not to say he can't, but right? He's unusual.
For sure.
I'm not rooting for him to, you know this, I'm saying this more felicitous. I'm not rooting for this guy to fail as a starter. I'm thinking in terms of probabilities, but if I'm the Mariners and he's there, right? You got him in this minor trade. He's right there. Absolutely. Use him as a starter, especially twice through the order. Once through the order, I think he'd be unbelievable, but if he can be a five and dive starter, get him out. You have a decent bullpen. Great. It's exactly what they need right now.
And if that guy's your number five starter, I mean, you could do a lot worse than that.
Yeah, I agree.
Look at any team, really.
Yes.
I've been watching a lot of Angels just because I'm a masochist and old habits die hard.
Did you kill Shohei's bat? He was giving CPR to it the other day.
Yeah. I don't know what's happening there. I mean, once he starts hitting and Trout starts hitting, the lineup will obviously improve, but it's the same story, different year. They didn't address the starting pitching problems. Madden loves to just overwork his bullpen. I mean, they're five games into the season, I think, and he's already just burning guys out. Even though he's getting good production from the starters.
Yep. Five different relievers have appeared in three games already.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Like after the fifth inning, I can't keep up.
Mm-hmm.
Team speed is improved, which is nice. Like Tyler Wade's actually a nice little scrappy addition, causing some problems on the base path.
I like Tyler Wade. I couldn't ever believe he was going to start for the Yankees, but I think he's a big leaguer in some role.
Angels really haven't had a dude like that in a while. I feel like the kind of slap and dash, take some extra bases guys. So,
if we're overreacting to small samples, should we just vote for Brandon Marsh for the MVP at this point? Or should we wait another couple of days?
I definitely think he's got more upside than Adell does. Adell's having a rough go, both again, in the field and at the plate.
How he's become like this in the field, I saw him in the minors. The only issue I ever had with him as a prospect defensively was throwing. He had issues throwing in high school. He looks bad out there. It's like Jorge Soler out there defensively. Yeah,
trouble with the glove, and he's had a couple very, very questionable throws.
Do not give Hollywood any ideas. I do not need to see Clint Eastwood in the sequel, the spiritual sequel.
Trouble with the glove.
Yeah. 9 punch outs so far in 15 PA for Adell, which is just more of the same. I will say Marsh was one of, when I did my breakouts column, I probably had about 20 guys I went through, and they're pretty much all, these are players whose ability I believed in previously and who've played in the big leagues, just haven't lived up to it. Marsh was on the long list and I can't make a good rational argument why. I still like him.
Mm-hmm.
What is there to say he would take a step forward? Now, the mere fact that he's getting on base at a higher clip and hopefully going to pull the strikeout rate down. If he does nothing more than that, he's going to have a better year. And it'll probably look like a breakout season, which would be huge for them. Because right now you're probably thinking you're not getting any production from the outfield corners.
Yeah, it'll help when they get Taylor Ward back too. He had a good spring and kind of sounded like they wanted him to be the everyday left fielder.
Mm-hmm.
So that should be helpful. But again, it's going to come down to pitching like it does every year. And they don't have it. They never have it.
I mean, the moves that they made in isolation were all fine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Picking up Lorenzen, right? Penn is definitely better. And I think getting some additional, like they have six starters right now. Now, it doesn't mean they're all six championship caliber starters, but they have six. So they can mix and match some guys, and hopefully that takes pressure off the bullpen at some point. you know, I think Detmers is better than what he showed last year, but unfortunately he wasn't that great in his first start either. Lorenzen is fascinating to me. I always figured that guy would have to be a reliever, but he had an unbelievable arm. I think even when he was originally supposed to be a position player, he couldn't hit. He was like maybe a 70 defender with an 80 arm. He just couldn't hit.
Right.
You know, he had a great start the other day. If he turns out to even be a league average starter for them, that's a huge win. But
definitely,
you know, who's above him, right? You need, if you're going to be a contender in that division, you probably need two premium starters capable of handling whatever passes for a high-end workload at this point. I'm not sure they have anybody like that, because Shohei's just,
right,
he's good, but he's not handling those workloads.
Yep.
Yeah. They flashed a graphic during, it might have been the first game of the season, but it was like the number of innings thrown by Angels starters last year.
Mm-hmm.
And it was somewhere in the vicinity of 360 for all six of them.
That is wild.
Which, that's, it's not great.
No, that sounds like a problem. Yeah. Well, Syndergaard threw like four, right?
Two.
Yes.
Literally two innings.
Yeah. Yep. And I think he made one or two relief appearances in the minors, or like not relief, but you know, those like, he's the starter, he throws two innings,
right,
and he's out.
Right.
That was his entire workload since the surgery. I was shocked they gave up a draft pick and gave him the, right? The just, typically those guys coming off surgery, you do the 2-year deal, one in an option, something like that.
Right.
This was just,
if you're the Angels, it's $21 million for one make or break year.
Right. Where I like Syndergaard. How much could you reasonably expect him to pitch at this point?
Yeah.
Keith, do you think the Mariners are the class of the AL West? That just seems wild. I see people saying it and I have a hard time believing it, even though it may be true.
I think they may be the most fun team to watch this year, but I would still take the, I think I did still take the Astros, yeah, to win the division. Yeah. I think there's just, I like this Mariners team. I really like what they've done. You know, it's really interesting because Jerry DePoto's tenure in Anaheim was kind of a disaster. And I think he would say a lot of it was ownership too. But I just went back through their drafts the other day and they missed a lot. Well, they weren't all bad picks at the time, but they did. They missed a lot. And he also never really addressed the pitching issue in the time that he was there. But he's been a different guy in Seattle and they've drafted better. He's retained prospects, first of all, rather than trading one every 20 minutes.
Right.
They've done better in the draft. They've done better in international. They've actually had some wins on the trading side too, like Brash picking a guy like that up in a relatively minor deal after he was a fourth rounder who'd barely pitched in pro ball at that point. So I like what they've built. I don't know that really adds up to much more than a 500 team, especially they were so lucky last year, which is fine. You know, not a criticism. It just is.
Yep.
So I have a hard time seeing them catching up to the Astros. And it does mean there's an opportunity for the Angels. If the Angels have some pitching surprises or are able to add somewhere during the season, I don't think it's out of the question the Angels could get to the playoffs. I didn't predict that, but there's some opportunity there. You know, looking forward though, would I want to be in that division facing the Mariners, say next year,
right,
the year after that? They could be a juggernaut. Yeah. Once all these guys, the bulk of these guys are up, Kalanick will have a full year. Julio will have a full year. Kirby will be in the rotation. That club is going to be the envy of the division, I think, probably as soon as next year.
Very interesting.
Yes.
Astros do still look good. They look good in that opening series against the Angels. And Pena looks good.
Yes.
Too.
He's fun. That's really,
really fun.
Yeah. So the story on him when he came out of college was he can really defend. He can't hit. Poor kid can't hit. And all he did in the minors, I know he's been hurt, so he hasn't played a lot, but he's hit. And I saw somebody sent me his Instagram photo of himself, you know, shirtless selfie, because you're allowed to.
He's
not a dating app. You can do it on Instagram, maybe not on Tinder, but he is jacked. Yes. And I was like, that's not the guy I thought he was. You know, thank God I had him like well ranked already. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh God, if that's what he looks like now, I might be light on him.
He kind of reminds me of like young A-Rod a little bit at the dish, like maybe the power is not the same, but the set, the look and the swing and stuff. Yeah.
Honestly, I thought it took some real balls for them to say, we're going to plug him in, right? They didn't keep Correa. I for one, do not believe they just turned, people are like, they turned down what the Twins got him for. I don't think that's true. Mm-hmm. But to just plug Pena in to replace a 7-win player like that on a team that is expected to win the division, I hope he's great. I hope he has an unbelievable season. That's a lot of risk. I think of myself as pretty risk tolerant when I talk about mm-hmm. some of these decisions. That would have made me swallow pretty hard before saying, we're just going to put you, you had 100 at-bats in the minors last year. Yeah, you're good.
Yeah.
Your job to lose.
I wonder about their pitching. That's the one thing. And I picked them to win the division, so I still think it's a good team. I wonder, I think their pitching depth is finally starting to get tested. For between defections and the farm system is finally drying out after, once they stop picking in the top five every year, right. The drafts weren't as productive. It's funny how that works.
I've been saying that for the last 3 years though, Keith. Like they do seem to, I don't know if it's Sig or like who's behind this, but they seem to find these guys like off the fucking trash heap or like mm-hmm. out of, international markets and stuff. They seem to find these guys who nobody else is in on or who other people undervalue. You know, they are finding those guys who, end up carrying them deep into the playoffs. It's wild to watch.
I actually am waiting for this to happen. You know, Sig and Elias there in Baltimore, like the biggest deficiency, right? We should talk about the Orioles for a second. Joe Sheehan was, I think they had, in Tuesday night, the Orioles loaded the bases. It was a walk, a hit, and a walk, I think. And then the next three guys to come up, it was just non-competitive at-bats for the rest of the inning. And it was three guys who are probably not making any of the other 29 major league rosters right. at this point. And Sheehan just said, this is embarrassing, even for the Orioles. Get some major league players. I was like, ouch.
Brutal.
But he's not wrong. And on top of that, they're not close with the pitching. And that's the thing I keep coming back to with them, with why I don't maybe think their farm system is, near the top of the rankings and why I'm not that bullish on them for the near term. They have a great accumulation of position player talent. Who the hell is going to pitch for this team? Even next year?
I'm looking at the box score of their most recent game where they dropped mm-hmm. a close one to the Brewers. I recognize exactly zero of these pitcher names. Keegan Aiken, Cionel Perez, Joey.
Cionel Perez is former Astro. So that's we'll take one of our old guys, right?
Yeah, Joey Krabappel.
I made those guys up.
Joey Krabappel is a Simpsons character, I'm pretty sure.
Brief Warmth.
Yeah.
Was Brief Warmth on there? Which one of you guys wrote that?
All of those are Riley. All of 100% of those are Riley. That is his gift.
You fooled the Rat Fink, Bill Madden, and that made my year.
That was a good one.
That was a tremendous tweet. For folks who don't know, on the Productive Outs Twitter account, Riley put a brilliantly worded fake trade that said the Reds were trading Luis Castillo for four player names. And the perfect construction of the joke was that each player name was slightly more ridiculous than the last. So that by the end, the last one was Brief Warmth. And I was like, all right, that's really good. And I guess Bill just didn't read past the first four words or thinks Brief Warmth is an actual professional baseball player.
Incredible. Yeah. Now, Riley has many gifts. He's handsome and talented, a great drummer, fantastic internal meter. But I think the baseball names are really the icing on the whole package.
That is all lies.
Thinking in terms of, we'll sort of tie this back to where we started. Rutschman is coming back from injury. He's sort of off the table right now. Grayson Rodriguez made his 2022 debut last night. He did what he always did. He overpowered guys with the fastball. He missed a bunch of bats. He threw strikes. I don't think he's far from ready. He probably just is ready. So put yourselves in the shoes of the Orioles front office. On the one hand, you stink this year, and you're going to. They're going to lose 100 games. I don't see any way that they don't at this point.
In that division, that's a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, right? With the pitching that they currently, the only starting pitcher they added the whole offseason was Jordan Lyles. That's not going to push you ahead of the Blue Jays. But, there's nothing doing this year. However, Grayson Rodriguez, probably ready. Non-zero chance he's your best starter by the middle of the season. So at what point do you just say, we're calling him up? Do you wait? Do you try to play the service time game with him?
I mean, yes, if I'm in their front office, because I want my, you know, maximum years of control. I'm not going to burn one in a year that's already a foregone conclusion. On the other hand, of course, I hate myself for saying that because long-suffering Orioles fans deserve to see a competitive product on the field. Grayson Rodriguez is not going to get you there, but he is going to be something to get excited about this year. So, I mean, if you're asking me as a fan, and my answer as a fan and my answer as a front office employee are very different.
Yeah.
My answer as an advocate for the game of baseball, which I love, is call him up right now.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah. It's not my money.
Yeah. Turn your big league team into like a developmental level instead of just using it as like a collection of placeholders until these guys are quote unquote ready.
The one thing I keep coming back to, and I've seen Grayson multiple times in the minors, and I do think he's going to get to the big leagues and have to make some adjustments because he lives on his fastball, which is a very good fastball, but I've seen him just absolutely carve up minor league hitters with that because they can't catch up to it and they don't see it very well. That may continue to work, but it wouldn't surprise me if, after a little time in the majors, at least hitters start to get on that. He's got to work more with the off speed. And he's just going to have to refine it just through usage and experience. That said, if they made an announcement, Grayson Rodriguez is starting our next home game, whenever that might be, you know, 5 days, 6 days from now, whatever it is, I bet they get 10,000 extra fans in the stadium. Maybe that's aggressive, but Orioles fans are ready. They know the farm system extremely well because that's what they've been hanging their hats on for probably 4 or 5 years now. When he debuts, when Adley Rutschman debuts, maybe when DL Hall debuts, he might be a little bit behind those guys in terms of name recognition, but people are going to show up and they are going to tune in and there will be excitement in that fan base that they have probably not had since the regime change 5 years ago. And maybe that's enough of an argument to call one of these guys up. Grayson Rodriguez just being, I picked him because he's the closest, because he pitched last night and he is the most ready and healthy of all of their collection of prospects. They have others. I'm actually going to try to go see their high A club later this week. And there's something like 5 guys who I think are in their top 10 for me are all in that lineup. So that club is pretty stacked. Those guys might be end of this year, next year. But those are 3 names in that Orioles system where I could see you could bring these guys up this year, maybe space them out a little bit to try to maximize the fan response. But I mean, I would love that for them. I would go down to Baltimore to watch one of those guys debut. And I generally, there hasn't been a lot of reason for me to go down there because they haven't had a lot of prospects coming through. Nope.
Yeah. What's the incentive to sell tickets when you can get a $1.2 billion taxpayer-funded Camden Yards renovation project?
Perfectly fine stadium so Baltimore has no other problems, though. I just want to make that clear.
Right. That's true. Right. Yeah.
There's nothing else. Somebody I tweeted about that and somebody just said The Wire season 6. Yeah. I was like, God damn it. Why didn't I think of that? It would be amazing. I would actually pay good money to get David Simon just one more season. Just one more season. Man. I don't care if they start excavating for a new parking deck next to Camden Yards and find a couple of dead bodies so Bunk and McNutty can be better. Whatever it is, I would watch the hell out of that.
What grade do you put on that not screwball changeup of Grayson's?
I think I've said it was 55 to 60. I think it's better than the breaking stuff. Mm-hmm. But again, I'm only hesitating because of how he uses them. He has been, for me, so fastball heavy. Mm-hmm. When they started the minors last year, it was right first week of May. Mm-hmm. It was delayed. And I think it was actually the first game of the season. And he went up against a not great Wilmington lineup. And it was just, he just carved with the fastball too. And I think hitters at that point were just so, you know, they get so geared up for velocity. And he could just pull the string a little bit. So I wonder if I may be overcorrecting, right? Yeah. I'm aware of this possibility. I may be overcorrecting. Maybe that pitch turns out to be better.
Yeah.
The one thing where I think I've disagreed, say even with the Orioles themselves, is I don't think the breaking stuff has been that good. Mm-hmm. Now, I haven't seen him this year, so it could always be better. That would be a big thing I would like to see from him. If they get 3-4 starts in the minors from him and they have, you know, obviously they have tons of data to show that either the breaking ball, I think probably the slider, just given his arm speed, if that's better – then all the more reason to just call him up at that point.
Yeah.
Because also, I mean, they have protected him so much. They're so scared of him getting hurt, which I understand. They all get hurt. Just had another guy for this year's draft class get hurt in the last 48 hours. So I get it. But at the same time, if he's going to get hurt, if you believe he's going to get hurt at some point anyway, bring him to the big
leagues. Yeah, don't baby him. Yeah, put some mileage on him, man.
I think so. So, before I let you guys go, each of you, Ian, I forgot, I actually did not mention your band's new album that came out. We were busy talking about the tour, but it was Piecework.
Piecework came out in December, is available now. We will have vinyl for our record release tour. Not a done deal, not a foregone conclusion by any stretch. The vinyl pressing realities.
I think my vinyl is downstairs. I'm actually looking in my closet for my vinyl.
The vinyl pressing realities are very grim right now, but we will have records for this tour, which is very, very exciting. Only 4 months late. Piecework came out in December. It's available on all streaming and on our Bandcamp. And like I said, vinyl is now available, and we will have them for our 2-week run with Rid of Me, which starts, tomorrow night, 4:14 in Pittsburgh.
Pitchfork liked your album, too, and they don't like anything.
They hate everything, especially heavy stuff. So, I mean...
Especially Thrice.
Oh, do they hate Thrice? I mean, I just don't.
They just
ignore
us, which is
there you go.
Which is fine.
Yeah,
right. Do an album of like Taylor Swift covers, and then they'll be all over.
Yes.
And so, Riley, you guys had a new album, Horizon Seas, came out September, right?
Yes.
And you did one big tour. I know you've got another tour coming up. So tell us just a little bit about the album and where you guys will be. You said it's a limited tour this summer.
Yeah. Horizon Seas came out in September of last year. We did a headline tour last fall. And then this year we've got a bunch of one-off shows, festivals and stuff like that. And then in June, we're doing a co-headliner with Bayside, but it's pretty East Coast and Midwest centric. We don't play any West Coast dates, not a bunch in the South. But it's like 3 weeks. I think it starts June 2nd and goes until the 23rd or 24th. And then we go out to the UK to play a show that has been rescheduled twice because of COVID.
Actually, you're playing all over the Northeast in the early part of the summer, which is awesome.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Places I didn't even know existed.
Probably
McKees Rocks, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, it's Pittsburgh. Oh, it's basically Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Yeah, more or less. I lived there for 2 years. So,
all right.
And you're going to Italy, which I'm extremely jealous about. I actually don't know where Sesto San Giovanni is, but it sounds great.
It sounds super fancy. Yeah,
right? It sounds awesome. Right? I'm sure the food's good. I'm sure it's gorgeous.
The food that you get at the gas stations along the freeways in Italy is better than anything you get in the States. I cannot wait to get back to Europe. I'm very, very jealous, Riley.
I do not complain about my job because no one wants to hear it. However, I will say I get a lot of travel in the job, but it does not take me to Europe. That is the one, but I picked the wrong sport for that. Nope. And I've been to Taiwan. It's one of these days I will get to Japan, I'm sure. I've gone to some cool places. I've been to Aruba for work. Very few people get to say that.
Wow.
Europe has been a miss so far. We need the next Max Kepler.
Yes. Oh, I love going to the, I think it's FIB is the Italian Professional Baseball League. Going to those games. Not a ton of prospects.
No. A scout friend of mine has said that if you go there, you probably won't see anything over 85 and no breaking balls.
None. No, and it's a lot Latin American guys and like washouts of Italian extraction from, you know, college and like low minors from over here, because they'll put you up if you've got an Italian surname, they'll put you up for 2 months and you get to eat the food and hang out with the locals. It's great.
And you only play like 3 games a week.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Seems like a great life.
Do the baseball players flop, or is that exclusive to Italian soccer players?
I don't know. Would you have to get on base more to flop? I'm not sure what the math is on that one. I keep holding out hope at some point we will get another. You know, Kepler hasn't turned out to be a star, but he's been a big leaguer. Yeah. We'll get another one from somewhere. He was German, but it's one of his parents was American, which is how he got the baseball bug in the first place. But I feel like there's enough places over there where they play that we got just one. I'm just asking for one player, a Dutch kid, a Slovakian or Czech kid. They play. They actually play quite a bit there. Just give me one guy and I'll be like, I need to make a scouting trip. I'm sorry. I got to go see this in person. It's going to take a week and a half.
I think that can we just non-Curaçaoan Dutch kid is probably your best bet.
Yeah. Yes, that is probably true. The Blue Jays have one, Sam Roberson.
Oh, exciting.
Who is a pitcher who is Dutch, real Dutch, actual Dutch, and is a real prospect too. And I have high hopes for him.
We need some Swedes.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Were the Angels the team that had the 6'11" pitcher who
Loke Van Mill.
Loke who rode a bike everywhere. Rode a crazy 70-centimeter road bike everywhere.
Penny Hardaway.
That guy. I saw him. He passed away a couple year or two ago.
Oh my god, I had no idea.
Yeah. I saw him in was it Instructs once for the Angels or maybe minor league spring training. And obviously some tall guys in baseball, but he, you know, it's a bunch of them coming and there's one guy who's a full head taller than everybody else. I'm like, I know who that is.
Oh.
You can't sneak that one by me.
R.I.P. Loke, man. Yes. That's sad.
Yeah, it is sad, right? It is. It was very sad. I was certainly hoping he'd make it for lots of reasons. Would have been fascinating to see somebody that size, especially. We've been a tough look on hitters, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Maybe we could get the TrackMan extension on a delivery like that. Someday we will get one of those. Well, it has been my pleasure to be joined today by Ian Miller of Kowloon Walled City, Riley Breckenridge of Thrice. Check out both of their new records, and both groups will be on tour at some point. Ian's Kowloon Walled City starting this week, and Thrice over the summer. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me.
My great pleasure, Keith. Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Keith. This is fun.
That's all for this week's show. Thank you so much for joining me. As I said, I'll be back next week. I have also do want to draw your attention to those of you who play board games. I have returned to doing mostly weekly board game reviews for Paste Magazine. The one I put up this week was one of my favorites of last year, a game called Cascadia, which is from Flatout Games, also from Alderac. It is absolutely tremendous. We actually played it. I have played it solo. I have played it with other adults. I also played it with my 9-year-old stepdaughter, who completely got the game, even though we weren't using the simplest rule set. And my 5-year-old, who sort of understood it, played on a team with her mom, but really enjoyed playing along and at least felt like she was able to contribute. It is so rare that I find a game like that that sort of checks so many different boxes and that could be played with younger players, but is also really great to play just with adults. You can find that over on Paste Magazine, or if you just follow me on Twitter at Keith Law, you will see a link to that review as well. Thank you so much for listening. Stay safe.